Hour number two, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones is off. Philly Lanny has slid over. In this hour, we are joined by the one and only Rob Bradford. Bradford is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
McFarland.
There we go.
There it is.
I got it in like 1:30 in the morning last night.
Oh, my God. Well, you were in Atlanta. You were at the All-Star festivities.
Sick Brad, bro. I mean, let me just, I don't know if you know this. I was in Atlanta at the All-Star game. I don't know if you know this. I got in 1:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And I have a very, very complicated relationship. Well, this is my takeaway from the All-Star game.
Yeah, let's hear it.
With Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. Boy.
What's your Uber rating?
Oh, I have a good. I'm paranoid about that.
Yeah, mine's
aren't
not
you guys
the best.
Paranoid about this?
I was paranoid. Mine, I took a tank one time because I took an Uber home from a beer fest once. And
cleanup charges.
Yeah, no, I didn't throw up, but I think the guy thought that I would.
Yeah.
And so he was like looking at me in the back. I'm like, can I put the window down? The guy's like, oh, boy.
Please do.
So I think that tanked it. But other than that, I've been pretty nice.
I don't put it on don't talk to me mode because I feel like right out of the gate,
right.
That's like leading to.
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy? I'm going to give him a bad rating. So I'm like, oh, no. But then you actually have to talk to him,
right.
And you have all kinds of stories. So I have a very conflicted relationship because I don't really want to talk to anybody, but then some of the stories are really like, what? Like, I had one guy who was trying out for the USFL as a receiver.
Nice.
But he just smoked too much of that weed, you know?
Well,
like that
gets all of us.
He's like, back in the day.
He
could have been the next great Birmingham Stallions wideout.
Normally, you guys are like, oh, it would have been me, but I had, like, the knee injury. This guy's like, would have been me, but, you know, weed.
I just love pot too much.
Because no guys in the NFL are currently snorting weed, so.
No, he was honest. And then anytime you have a guy who has self-published his own science fiction novel, you know,
Do you have a copy in the back seat?
I don't think it's like a hard copy. Yeah,
it's all up here.
But you know that's a wild ride.
Did you tell him you were a writer?
Unfortunately,
okay,
right. It's just chopping it up.
I get it, right.
Then I had about another nice woman who was 35 or so, I said, well, I do like, and she's like, oh, what do you do? You know, that's the thing. What do you do? Well, I'm just driving. Oh, here's my go-to. What's your dream job?
You ask people what their dream job is?
I do, yeah. I like to ask that.
Huh. Yeah. What was the answer?
It's like your dream job right now, right?
Well, a guy told me yesterday I'll never get my dream job.
True.
I was like, joke's on you. This is it.
Right.
I'm living it. So it's too bad.
Better than this.
Too bad, pal. This is what it is. But you were in Atlanta. We played the Joe. So, yeah, what do you got? Headphone problems over here?
Sorry, I'm good.
Jones is always complaining about that, too. Maybe somebody should look at that.
Yeah, well.
somebody should come in.
Look at Griff.
But I said, what's your dream job?
Yeah. What'd she say?
She's like, I don't know. I've never thought about it. Like, how, when you get to like
35?
Like, yeah.
Well, listen.
I mean,
some
you
of us are late bloomers.
Well, no, but the thing is, though, I bet a lot of that, you know, that ends after, you know, 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I grew up, my dream job was to play professional baseball.
Yeah.
I got to high school, I'm like, ooh, I am not that good. So that dream was killed right then and there. So then I'm like, all right, why? What am I shooting for now?
Yeah,
okay, but can you shoot real low?
And then you
give you something. Yeah. Make up something.
President of the United States? I don't know.
She's like, make it through the day.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Start somewhere.
So anyway,
it was...
So a good trip overall, it sounds like.
It was a good trip. It was a good... I will say this. I heard you guys talk about the All-Star game, about the ratings, and I think what it was, and you said you talk about staying up late, and I think really what this was an example of, which was if you sat and watched the game, you're like, But basically, if you woke up the next day and looked at the clips of the Hank Aaron thing, of the hit off or whatever it was,
yep.
You were like, that's awesome. And that's how most people are consuming this anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's our world now.
Yeah, there's cool moments in the game. I mean, I think, you know, Skeen Scoobal is a great way to start the game. You know, you have those guys. Shohei Ohtani's in the game. So, like, it was good. I think it was good for baseball.
You take away the home run derby at the end or swing off, whatever you want to call it, and I can't think of anything from the game that, like, that would have stood out.
No.
You know what I mean?
And honestly, you know, I love talking to all these guys, but you walked into that American League clubhouse and like, we're the stars.
Yeah.
You know, we're the stars.
Although, so Jones and I, we did this the other week where we were like looking at this year's lineups, and then we were like, oh man, it used to be a lot better. And then we started pulling up random old lineups.
The Scott Cooper lineup?
Yeah, like Jermaine Dye and like Travis Fryman and some of these guys like starting in the All-Star game, and you're like, oh.
But you forget, right, those guys were like, they were decent players. They were known players.
Well, they were starting all-stars. They should be decent. But I'm saying, but like 10 years from now, don't you think we'll look back and be like, yeah, Riley Green was really good?
No.
Oh, okay. No, take that, Riley Green. Right. Take that, Terp.
I mean, there's
send that to Riley Green.
You know, one of the things I love is I do love like how much these guys want to be there. We talked about Shane Smith, Danvers' own.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who
had a good one-on-one with him about North Shore
the greatest
beefs.
Debate of the All-Star game, which is what's the best North Shore beef?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just so happy to be there. These guys,
and then
first
he drilled time, Suarez.
Right. Well, again, so happy
maybe
to be
too
there.
Happy to be there.
He yeah. rained it in
overexcited.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's Chris Bubich of Kansas City, Zach yeah. McKinstry of like all these guys are just so happy to be there,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great thing. But I don't know if it leads to like, oh my goodness, what an All-Star game. But I will say this: the home run derby, I loved. And it was because of
that. Are you talking about the swing off or yeah. like
no,
the derby?
No.
Like
the derby. Derby.
Oh, the night before. Huh?
Yeah, I like the
big
swing
off.
Off. Great. Yeah. Yeah. But the home run derby was because you had these guys who you don't necessarily get to see a ton, mm-hmm. and you just hear about how like physically awesome they are. Junior Caminero and O'Neill Cruz and these guys, and you're like, holy mackerel. James Wood, like, oh my, I don't yeah. realize a guy could hit the ball that far. And so I go out to left field. Because I want to mingle with a riffraff.
Sure.
And so,
how about that kid almost robbed one?
Well,
kid in left field. Yeah, well, they said he did. I don't
mean,
even know.
Like,
if that
how
was
are
going
we? Can we effort him to get on the show? Let's go.
He's a good player.
It's so I see one guy catch the ball, and everyone's like, yeah, what a catch. Then a little while later, Byron Buxton hits one, and it's literally the next guy over. The guy goes to catch it, and it hits him in the eye. And his eye looked like Rocky in the commercial in Rocky 2.
It exploded?
Like
his eye?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. So,
fun day at the home run derby?
And then talking about my instincts not being correct, when I go down to interview Byron Buxton, he's like, that was the best experience of my life and everything else. I'm like, oh, yeah, do you realize you hit a guy in the eye?
You can't think of that as a hit him.
What did he say?
He didn't really
shouldn't have been standing.
There's nowhere to go for that. Like, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault.
No. Like, no. He had to Robin Williams him off the ledge.
Right. Thank you, Billy. Exactly. So anyway, it was good.
Joe Ryan obviously has been the number one conversation, not just from you. You sort of started it, but Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, also kind of recruiting him a little bit as well.
So what was your take? So I talked to Joe Ryan, and he does like how cool it would be to be traded by one.
He's like so excited. I do like Minnesota.
Yeah. So, but then the photo that Bregman posts of him, Crochet, and Joe Ryan, and then Joe Ryan doing the glass. I think it was like the eyeballs emoji. Maybe I don't know. Is that what he was doing?
He was doing something.
Yeah,
it was very flirtatious.
It was very And by the way, like tight with Lucas Giolito.
Okay.
Put it this way, it has not gone throughout the Red Sox clubhouse. It's like this is a guy they want. They like Joe Ryan. They like themselves from Joe Ryan.
Will Minnesota trade Joe Ryan?
No, I don't think so. And I know that another report came out because
thanks for coming in, Ron.
Yeah, right. We got 50 more minutes with you.
Absolutely.
Took the wind out of the sail real quick.
Are they going to trade him to the Red Sox?
Well, no. Let me just start with first. Will they trade him? Like, is he up for grabs? Because if he is, the Red Sox better be in the front of the line, and they have plenty to offer to get him.
Yeah, but
they're four games out of a wild card spot with teams in front of them. So if you're saying, is Minnesota a seller? They should be. I mean, I know they have 2 weeks until the deadline. They should be a seller. He's very good, and like you're not just going to give him away for nothing. But are they willing to, in what, 2 years, give him $200 million?
Okay, so this go back to – it lines up with Crochet last year. Same sort of deal, right? So you go back to last trade deadline. The Red Sox tried to get Crochet. A lot of teams tried to get Crochet. The asking price was like, yeah, give us Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and some other people. I mean, this is the way of the world when it comes to these sort of pitchers at the trade deadline. Brendan Gomes of the Dodgers, get ready for the sick brag drop again.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast. And he told me, he's like, in the offseason, that our goal, because they had this shock and awe offseason, it's like, our goal is to get to the trade deadline where we don't need anything because it's 3X for what you're going to have to pay normally. Mm. And when you talk about a guy like Joe Ryan, that's what we're dealing with. We look at the Garrett Crochet deal, and how much they gave up. Well, if they traded for Garrett Crochet at the deadline a few months earlier, it would have been more than that, and that's what you're talking about. So, sorry, man. Sad trombone, but
that
you
is
know,
disappointing.
Yeah.
Do the Red Sox have the best package to give for Joe Ryan?
No, I mean, I think the Red Sox, you know, they got rid of a lot of guys. I mean, it's not, and they're not, they got rid of a lot of guys. Billy, they're not going to trade Meyer. They're not going to trade Anthony. Christian Campbell now has this contract with him. You know, the password is fine. He's an okay player. They have some decent minor leaguers, but I think that what you have to do is start introducing guys on the major league roster, which I don't know if they're going to do. The Jaron Durans, the Rafaelas, like these sort of guys. What's interesting is if you look at Arizona, let's start playing the name game.
Yes.
Arizona, guy Zach Gallen, right? Right? Zach Gallen, contract year, not having a great year, but
take him.
Boy, I'll take like what he did in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the type of guy you want out there. The Arizona Diamondbacks are looking for young pitching because they have these guys coming up. So, there you go. You have some young pitching. You know, you have the Richard Fitz of the world. If you want to jump ship on Tanner Houck, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have some pieces there to get a rental, which is probably going to be the way they go.
If it's not Joe Ryan, who do you think the best starting pitcher that will be traded?
Because
we're going over a long list. There's a handful of guys that are, you know, were at the All-Star game. Their names have at least been kind of mentioned. But again, if you have to give up way more now, maybe these guys end up getting stuck with their teams. But at some point, some of these sellers are going to say, we got to do what's best for our team, and we're not going to just hold out. Like, let's get something now while we can.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. You look at the starters that are traded at the deadline. And Breslow said this to me the other day. This is undeniably the hardest thing to get at the deadline. What they are looking for is undeniably the hardest thing to get at the deadline because every team is overvaluing. You're taking a risk. And this is why you hear like guys like Charlie Morton's name come up. Mm-hmm. And everyone, if they got Charlie Morton, everyone would be like, oh, really? That's it? Well, you know, brace yourself because that's what you might be dealing with because you just can't. Coming back to the Joe Ryan thing, and I don't really know. I mean, maybe some of the Marlins pitchers, but you know, Cabrera is going to cost too much, and the other guy isn't really producing this year. Like, it's going to be a rental, and people aren't going to be probably happy with what they got. So, sorry, like that's what the deadline is. Unless they say, hey, everybody, we pushed the chips to the middle of the table. We traded Devers. We did all this stuff in the offseason. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go. But that's not really.
But like, so Breslow's talked about, you know, adding an impact player, right? Player. Because last year they added five players. None of them were impactful.
No. And so, all of them were traded with guys who were not going to be protected anyway.
So how willing do you think he will be to overpay? Or are they going to say, hey, we're doing well right now and the team's hot as a pistol, but we don't want to sacrifice the future?
I'll come back to it. Not only with the Red Sox at the trade deadline, I remember talking to Mike Hazen when they had the World Series run, and they fell, and he's sitting there in the postseason, and he, of course, is the Arizona Diamondbacks president baseball operations, and he's sitting there in the postseason, and he's like saying, boy, I didn't get the arm. I didn't get the arm. We fell short. And they're in the middle of it. He's kicking himself because I wasn't able to do it, but he said at the same time, it was impossible to do. The asking prices were impossible, and that was the same message that you got last year, especially with guys under control. So it's not what people want to hear, but we have to look at the history of the last couple of years about when you go after these guys, what it's going to cost. And if you want to do the shock and awe, and I don't even know what the shock and awe is anymore. The shock and awe is putting Meyer in a deal. I think they're not going to put
that'd be shocking.
Deal.
Right. Yeah. I don't think either one of those guys is getting traded. Christian Campbell, we've had callers bring up and people – I wouldn't do it, probably. I mean, not that he's untradeable, but I just think he was rookie of the month, and then clearly kind of fell apart.
You're selling low on him.
You are really selling low, and you do have him on that what I think could be a team-friendly deal. He does strike me as the kind of player that you could trade, then 2 years you're like, oh, yeah, why'd you trade him? Like, he's killing
Maybe.
It somewhere else.
Yeah, but you say a team-friendly deal, but is it?
Well, if he's good.
Yeah, if he's good, he's not? Well, I mean, if it's not, right, then and that's what I think teams look at is like, yeah, you had that good first month. Yeah.
Do they regret that deal at all?
No, I don't think so because you look not yet.
Yeah.
You can't say that yet because it's the same thing we have the conversation when they signed the extensions with Bayo and Rafaela. everyone was like, why did you do this?
No, I was one of those guys. I was like, what are you doing with these guys?
That was quick to do
that. Now they're good. Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, you're geniuses. So good for you. But so I think it's just way too early. But I think if you're going to trade Campbell, teams, it's too risky for a team to say this is the centerpiece of the trade, where you have a guy who had 1 year professional excellence, 1 year of professional experience, and then he's good for a month, and then he's really bad, and now he's in AAA just doing okay. Mm-hmm. Not to say he's going to be bad, but that's a pretty big risk. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that, you know, I do think that they are more motivated this trade deadline than we have seen in years. That is the one thing that I can say. Like, people say, oh, buyers or sellers. No. Well, when you trade Rafael Devers, when you did, like, you better be buyers.
For sure. But then you also can't be 2 weeks from now, add nothing, and be like, wow, the asking prices were high.
No.
Like, I don't think anybody's going to be like,
Danny,
oh, they were?
The Danny,
okay.
The Danny Ainge method. Yeah, we were in on everybody. We got nobody.
Not good enough. Not this year.
Right. I mean, but you look at a guy like their last sort of trade deadline where they like, oh my goodness, they look at what they did. Kyle Schwarber, right?
Yeah, 21. This is the only time they had a winning record in the second half.
But remember about Kyle Schwarber.
He was hurt.
Like, they got him on a bargain basement. And
they're going to make him a first baseman. And they want to.
Right.
You know,
well, that's the other thing, Billy.
Yeah,
right?
We'll teach him first.
He's like, willing to do it.
We'll teach him first. It's like, oh, think about that. How we forget that like, he hadn't even played first. Oh, we'll just take
we'll make him a first baseman.
And then, like, I don't know if you have the clip, like, me talking to Chris Sale, but Chris Sale was talking about 2018 when they they put the rings on the table. And they put, when I came to Boston, they put the rings on the table. And they said, hey, listen, we want to win more of these, but it's up to you. And if you do your job, then we'll add. And sure enough, in 2018, you have Steve Pearce early on and Nathan Eovaldi early on. But even then, Nathan, they needed another start, and you get Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Nathan Eovaldi,
who's killing it
as much as everyone is screaming and yelling about Joe Ryan, let's remember, even Dave Dombrowski couldn't get that guy.
Right.
So that's the dangerous
part. We had that Dombrowski cut we used to always play where they're asking him about the deadline, how come we didn't do anything. He goes, well, we did add Cashner. Remember they got Andrew Kashner? We're like, what? Andrew Cashner.
But
if they had a similar conversation this year, not saying that they did with like the rings and everything.
Yeah, like,
get the Cashner already, so it's not like we haven't done something to help our ball club.
It's not like we haven't done
something.
We got
something. Cashner. Lay off. No, but like if you were doing the same thing this year, it's the same kind of conversation, you say, hey, like, you guys got to prove it for us to be buyers. Like, I don't know, winning 10 straight games would be the answer.
Rich, the day after they traded Devers in Seattle, you know, when everyone's like, you know, it's just one of 26 and all
that's
that stuff.
Amazing. Yeah.
Right? I heard the trade deadline mentioned at least 5 times from players. Like, we have to, like, prove to them that, I mean, and think about that. That was mid-June. They all knew what was at stake, and that's what I mean. They were all motivated to, this was going to be the first checkpoint in terms of, was this a good move? Was, are you going to buy at the trade deadline? Are you worthy of buying at the trade deadline? And right now, and I know you can compare it to last year, and they were 10 games up at the break, whatever it was, but it feels like there is no room for interpretation here. There is zero room for interpretation.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, but I will say this. We mentioned Schwarber. You know who this year's Kyle Schwarber could be?
Marcelo Ozuna?
Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber. Oh, that would be good.
Right?
I'm all about that was a huge miss. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Chris Sale.
Don't want him.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
No. I'm just telling you. That's just my reaction. I don't want Chris.
I mean, he threw for the first time yesterday. He might be ready at the end of August. And,
yeah.
But he has an option.
I'd rather Nathan Eovaldi. If we're going to do the let's grab an old Red Sox, I'd rather Eovaldi than Sale.
You know, they thought that Nathan Eovaldi was that night that before he signed with Texas, they thought they had him.
Really?
They thought they had Eovaldi coming into this year.
That would have been good.
Well, and, you know, okay, he's up. He's, you know, he's on a 3-year deal. You have a couple. You have that spot.
Yeah.
Like, Bueller will be leaving. You have that spot.
Yeah, that's good. All right, you can wait. If you want to jump in here with a baseball question for Bradford, you can. 617-779-7937. Bradford's in until high noon today. A lot going on. Trade deadline 2 weeks away. What's going to go on with Jaren Duran? We can ask Bradford about Duran's status. But right now here is Billy Laney with What's Trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Red Sox return to action tomorrow afternoon to begin a 6-game road trip with a 3-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. Lucas Giolito will get the start for the Sox against the Cubs' Colin Ray. First pitch tomorrow afternoon is at 2:20. Celtics Summer League schedule continues tonight. The Seas will be taking on the Lakers. Tip-off from Las Vegas is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. The Bruins' regular season schedule was released last night. The Bees will open the season on the road against the Capitals on October 8th, with their home opener the next night against the Blackhawks. Brad Marchand and the Panthers will visit the TD Garden on October 21st, and on February 1st, the Bees will play the Lightning in an outdoor game at Raymond James Stadium as part of the NHL's Stadium Series. And last night, the Revolution fell 5-3 to the Red Bulls in New York. Up next for the Revs, they host Orlando City SC on Saturday night. Lobster Lovers Weekend is back. Visit the 99 Restaurants this Friday through Sunday and order their famous Colossal or Hut Buttered Lobster Roll, and you'll get a free 3-course meal upgrade. This weekend only, you gotta love the Nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
News with Shime coming up after we get through a couple leads and they said it. Are we going to discuss during the news the state rep who got the DWI? Shime, is that in the news today?
Yes, it is, Greg.
Okay. So when it comes to my lead subject, I have been debating a few. I will save that for the news.
Oh. Thank you.
I have some questions based on when it occurred and where the individuals was coming from. We will get to that during the news in just a little bit. But some leads left, including one from Wiggy. Wiggy, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, excuse me. Wow. Pull the Jackson right there.
How does this happen?
I don't know, man.
It happens very frequently. It's always when I go to you for your lead.
My mouth
and
is
then
a
we
little...
get the laugh. We get the laugh.
All right, good morning. So here's what I'll say.
Get a little dry mouth over there?
Yeah, I had a little dry mouth over there. So
Shime, what causes dry mouth?
I told you, I sleep with my mouth open.
That's true. Yeah,
so
true.
That's why I wear the tape when I sleep, because I'm a mouth open sleeper. Okay. So here's what I'll say to Breslow. Yo, that gives you the dry mouth, too.
It does.
No
and the munchies. And the munchies.
Yeah.
Anybody share the food demon video that was sent anonymously to this show yet? I don't think so, right? Okay.
No, I controlled
the food demon.
I went to the wifey and I went to the we was at the game the other night. After the game, I got a slice of pizza at my favorite places. Halftime,
late night slice.
Yeah, I was like probably about whatever time the game ended, about 10:30 So
I don't know who I got it randomly sent to me.
Yeah,
I gotta find it and I'll send it to Mitch. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I figure that somebody's always videotaping me.
I think it's fantastic because of the Zoom. Let me get it right to Mitch for those that are watching the show.
Yeah, it was a classic one.
Honestly, though, Halftime Pizza has been in business got to be 50 years. My old man used to take me there when we went to a Bruins game at the Old Garden.
Yeah, long time. Right across the street from the Garden. They put the cornmeal on the bottom of the pizza, which I like.
Cornmeal.
I love that on the bottom. Yeah. And they got some, like, the wings are really good over there, too. So if you want some wings. But let me get to my lead. If you're Breslow and you're looking, don't wait to the trade deadline. I would say after this first series against the Cubs, if you're able to win this series, I would make some moves. Now, I would personally do it before the series against the Cubs, because you have a tough stretch of games coming up. I mean, we obviously talked about the Cubs, the Phillies, the Dodgers, but you have the Twins, who are a decent team, and then you play the Astros. So if you're Breslow, I would do something now to help with your team getting ready for this run, because this run – these next 15 games can really change the direction and what your team is going into the second half of the season. Because if you can go out there and you can add a piece, and we heard Twitch, Mitch, and his lead talk about some of the pieces, help you with this run. You're only three games out of the division. You're the second wild card team. You'll just be able to, who knows, maybe overtake the division, maybe put yourself even closer to Toronto when it comes to the AL East.
But well, if you're willing to do whatever it takes mm-hmm. and part with whoever you have to part with
right.
to get Joe Ryan, then you're a World Series baseball team from my perspective.
Yeah, and Joe Ryan, Nathan Eovaldi.
So are you willing, like Jaron Duran, are you willing to part with Jaron Duran and F with the chemistry of this team if you can get Joe Ryan?
I am, because
you
I don't.
You are.
Yeah, I don't.
Because you want to be all in.
Right.
You could care less about the future. You could care less about getting rid of young guys.
Yeah, but Duran's not part of your future, though.
I think he is.
Well, if he is, then you would have signed him.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if he's necessarily part of your future, because if he was, he'd be a guy that you probably would get a deal done with and say, okay, we're going to build around Bregman, him, some of the younger guys. But I don't necessarily know if they look at it that way. So, yes, I would part ways with him mm-hmm. Because I think the chemistry is still going to be good, because you got rid of the person who brought the black cloud every day. So if you move on from Duran, I think guys will be a little bit sad. There'll be a little bit of emotion, but the chemistry will still be good, because there won't be a black cloud in that clubhouse. Okay.
I mean, I do think that we talked about it when it happened, and it was shocking and awe-inspiring. But the photo that Bregman and Crochet took with Joe Ryan, mm-hmm. having fun with that, I think, at least from his perspective, he's open to it. And maybe, who knows, maybe they spent a lot of time talking in Atlanta mm-hmm. and he wants to be a Boston Red Sox. So, I mean,
maybe you don't have to deal. Maybe you deal Yoshida, and then you could DH Duran or Anthony, and you could still keep the four outfielders, and maybe that gets it if you don't want to deal Duran.
Maybe. All right. Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
For those watching the show on YouTube or Twitch, let's go to Halftime Pizza. What time was this?
Probably about 10:30.
10:30.
Yeah, whenever the Indiana Fever game ended.
You can see a fan of the show is watching Mr. and Mrs. Wiggins in Halftime Pizza.
Yeah.
And they are getting a slice or two to go.
See, I got a slice of cheese. I always get
looking fantastic. By the way,
I don't get, like, I can't do the pepperoni late night because it gives me real bad heartburn.
The pizza doesn't give you. It's the sauce. I think
the pizza does, but the pepperoni is like next level.
Yeah.
And I even had a little bit. I try to keep the Tums. The chewable Tums, because I don't like the chalky ones.
You try to keep those handy at all
times?
Do them with the slice? Like, do you put them on the slice of pizza?
No, I do. I try to do it before I eat the slice, but obviously this was just after the game, so I had to do that in the hot burn pills.
Well, always a camera around. You know, you can't get away with anything in the city, Wiggy.
No, I don't mind it.
That's always a camera
around. I ain't never doing nothing nefarious, so video all you want.
Okay. All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is reporting that Aaron Rodgers' Steelers jerseys are selling like hotcakes, flying off the shelves down there. But it apparently is not for the reason that one might think if they were analyzing the sales of those jerseys. And it appears, according to Danielle Dudas, who is an employee at Strip District Tees, that some people are buying the Aaron Rodgers jersey so they can burn it.
Hmm.
There are some Steelers fans, apparently many, who remain unhappy with that decision when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, and they are therefore going out and spending a ridiculous amount of money on an Aaron Rodgers jersey just so they can burn it.
This is so stupid. Yeah, just go ahead and light $150 on fire, you dope.
That was my first thought. Like, I get it. You know, you're not...
you're not happy with the guy as your quarterback.
Right. Like, print out a picture of him and throw it out and light it up. Like, this, that's way cheaper.
But this is the people who are selling the jerseys who are saying that the reason they are selling like crazy is because people want to destroy them.
It's just, that's what's the saying, don't cut off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, right. Well done, Wiggy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you're doing in this one.
I mean, seems like a waste of money, but I mean, they're passionate.
Seems like? No, it is a waste of money.
Passionate fans. Yeah. I mean,
might as well just burn the $150.
Couldn't you buy like a terrible towel and like, you know, get a Sharpie and put number 12 on it and burn that or something?
Couldn't you
like
just make a sign for like $5 that says, I hate Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, you think you could. All right, those are today's leads. Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it on the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is brought to you by Catcher's Law. They are honoring those who built this incredible city. So whether they drive or construct or care for others, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Are we going to begin with Shaq this morning?
We are, Greg, okay. Because Shaquille O'Neal is not happy with Robert Griffin III. RG3 has apparently been coming at Angel Reese quite a bit on his podcast and on social media and whatnot, and Shaq is over it. Here was Shaquille O'Neal.
RG3? Tweet another monkey post about my girl Angel Reese. I'm punching your face. Okay? It's enough. Like, I don't usually do stuff like this, but just stop it, bro. You got your job. You got your podcast. Leave my Angel Reese alone. I'm the one calling her and telling her not to respond. That's the last time. Okay? Thank you. It's not real hate. If you look around what's going on in this real country, that's hate. This is sports. I'm not supposed to like you. It's a shame that all the stuff you did in your life, you're going to be remembered for your podcast. That should tell you you're not that great. I don't want to be remembered for Shaq's Bit podcast. I do not. Like, leave those girls alone. You already spoke on it. Let it go. So what? He hates her. So what? Mm. I hate you now for messing with her. Now what? Say something about me. Mm. But she's not going to respond because I'm the one calling and be like, baby, keep it classy. Because she's not soft by any means. You're from the streets. But I'm like, you're beautiful. Don't indulge with these fools because he's a fool. I would respect it more if Lisa Leslie said it. Like, that's y'all category. Stay out of them people's category.
Hmm. Yeah. Several thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Number one, I would not want to be punched by Shaq.
No, Shaq is a massive man.
I would. So if I were RG3, I think I might lay off the comments.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like Shaq may have some interest romantically in Angel Reese. He's standing up, mm-hmm. you know, and chivalry is not dead. Mm-hmm. He is coming to her aid.
Yeah. I think he does that because I just watched the Shaq documentary of him and Allen Iverson kind of like revitalizing Reebok. And she's one of the main athletes that Reebok has signed. So he's the new CEO of Reebok. So maybe
I bet the LSU connection too. Like he just wants to mentor her.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it could be that part, but it is a little weird that RG3 posted that monkey post that
I didn't see it.
Yeah. Like, so I don't know if somebody like created a meme of Angel Reese is on the cover of the WNBA 2K video game.
Well, that's because she's the best player in the WNBA. Well, that's why, you know, why she got the cover.
Yeah, hashtag me bound.
You know what the WNBA is doing. They're trying to hold on to as much of this drama as they can. And then somebody took out.
I mean, Caitlin Clark should not be on the cover of the WNBA 2K game at all.
She was on it last year.
Yeah, so.
Can't be on
the best player in the league by far.
Right, but you don't want to be every single year.
She revitalized the whole entire league.
No, I know she does, but guess what? LeBron is not on the cover of NBA 2K year in and year out.
Tom Brady wasn't on the cover of Madden every
year
either.
You switch it up. And the WNBA, they love the drama, and they know what the drama brings. But somebody like took out the picture of Angel Reese and like put like a monkey in the jersey. It was like real racist, and RG3 like reposted it or something like that. So. And that's why people was coming after him.
All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, Greg, we talked yesterday a lot about how Terry McLaurin is frustrated down in the nation's capital with the Commanders and not getting his new contract. And if the Patriots would be interested, well, Burt Breer talked about if Terry McLaurin would be a fit with the New England Patriots and what he's dealing with in D.C.
hasn't been much progress because there hasn't been much talk between the sides. And I think that's why Terry felt compelled to say what he said publicly. And this is a guy who has been a team captain for a long time. I mean, exemplary character, all of that. So my anticipation is that the Commanders are going to take a swing at getting something done with him over the course of the next week, just because it makes too much sense for both sides. I think the Patriots would be very interested in this. Now, there's a price point for all of it, and what would that mean? And, you know, obviously he's not going to come here with an unresolved contract situation, so you'd be talking about a draft pick plus a contract. He's a little older than people realize because he was a five-year college guy, so he's over 30 now. But, you know, certainly as far as, like, what they're looking for from a person, from a player, helping Drake, like, this guy checks.
Draft pick, contract, all day, all night, I would do it.
I couldn't agree more, Greg. Five straight seasons of 1,000 yards, should have had six.
You have the money.
Yeah.
You have millions.
And he's not going to cost as much as a guy like DK Metcalf because he's 30 already.
Right.
This is his last chance to cash in on a big contract. So you're looking at what, like a four-year deal, probably $110-ish million, Wiggy, right? So just shy of 30.
Yeah, I would say more along those lines. Chime is like 110, 115. And the great thing about the wide receiver market is there's so many guys who have, like, signed in this past offseason, whether it's Garrett Wilson, whether we saw Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. So you kind of know, if you're Terry McLaurin, where you fit. You know, Chime's right. He's a little bit older, and you have to kind of look at that. So I don't get, A, why Washington's not doing it, because he's their best player.
Yeah.
And B, if you're New England, I'm like, what do you want from us trade-wise? You want a second-round pick? You want a second and a fourth?
Have at it.
Right.
Like, have at it. All right, what's next?
Well, Greg, one last one for you here. Colin Cowherd talked about LeBron James being the next team. The odds-on favorite is now the Dallas Mavericks.
Wow.
And Cowherd is all about it.
Dallas is the favorite now to get LeBron James. If that's the case, LeBron wins again. No state tax, upgraded coach, Cooper flag, reunited with Anthony Davis. Are you kidding me? Let's be honest about the Lakers. DeAndre Ayton doesn't defend, not much of a bench, not much size, or no state tax, Jason Kidd, unbelievable size, including AD. You give them Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, 2 to 3 first-round picks. This is the Mavericks lineup. Kyrie Irving, Cooper Flagg, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Derek Lively. I would sign up for that today.
Wow. Could they get that done, though? That is a good lineup. And both two of those guys on that team, he's already won championships with, Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, and he likes both of them. And then you have a young Cooper Flagg who's going to be there. I mean, that would be...
On the record today, is LeBron playing for the Lakers next season? Yes or no?
No.
Yeah.
No?
If he wants to win a championship, I would say no.
Okay.
If he wants one more before he retires.
That should be all he cares about.
Right.
That should be it, because he needs it.
Yeah.
And like, if he wants to actually be in the conversation with Michael Jordan, legitimately.
And the Lakers just don't have it.
All right. That is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday and the news with Shime filling in for Courtney next.
And the Boston Red Sox, they're off right now, but they are on, baby. They've been on for a while now. And they're on a roll toward the trade deadline, which is something that the doubters, the Ted Johnsons of the world, still kind of holding against them. Are they going to buy? Are they going to not buy and then react adversely? And that's going to be a story, blah, 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 blah. Or you can check out social media where Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman, two all-stars for your Boston Red Sox.
Two fan favorites, some would argue.
Two guys who you can't hold responsible for collapses of the past because they weren't Red Sox before this season.
Right.
They're at the all-star game. And lo and behold, who are they hanging out with? Aroldis Chapman? Well, probably some.
No, I mean, you know, he's around. They probably went to dinner after or something like that. No, not him.
Paul Skeens?
I would. More just to say hi to Libby, but, you know, I'd at least say hi.
Scoobal?
No, although a Crochet Scoobal meetup would be very
pretty
much
cool.
Kind of like Batman Superman, to speak in your
pretty
terms.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, the picture that's making the rounds on the internet from Alex Bregman's social media.
Mm-hmm.
Is those two guys, Crochet and Bregman, with a pitcher by the name of Joe Ryan of the Minnesota Twins in the middle.
Yep. and seem more than happy to be there.
He more than happy to be there, and he is a guy that Will Fleming, a little more than a week ago, was like, top of my head, a guy who makes sense, just pulling this out of Joe Ryan.
Yeah, rhymes with Joe Ryan.
And I think we could all agree would definitely fulfill the criteria of an impact starting pitcher, number two starting pitcher. I mean, hell, could be a number one starting pitcher in some places.
Yeah, I think he is for them this year.
He is for them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be for the Red Sox. Slides into the two-hole, the two-role behind Crochet, the guy he's in the picture with. So we talk about this more with the NBA. And I know they don't actually get to make trades. They're just there as, you know, dignitaries representing the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
But do you think this is in any way related to what we would say, hey, how come Kyrie and LeBron are hanging out or one of those NBA-type things? Is this laying the groundwork for Joe Ryan to come to Boston?
All right, if we're gonna speculate based on pictures from this year, I think we should also speculate based on pictures from last year. Because,
okay,
and this one I did not blatantly rip off like the other stuff on Twitter earlier today. Last year, on the lineup for the foul line, or on the foul line for the national anthem, going from right to left, it went Jarren Duran, Tanner Houck, Garrett Crochet.
Oh, and where did Crochet end up?
The Boston Red Stockings. So,
coincidence?
I hope
I
not.
I think so.
So, yeah, I'm sure it is, but
This is different, though. This is, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah, and it's two separate instances. So,
yeah,
it's a post on Bregman's Instagram feed. It's also a video that was posted by Major League Baseball of everybody in their jerseys walking into the stadium. So it's Crochet and Ryan basically arm in arm next to each other walking into the stadium. And then it's the three of them with Ryan in the middle doing that thing where, like, you flip your hands upside down to make glasses.
Yep.
He seemed like he was having the time of his life with the two of them. So it's fun to speculate, but it's just at a certain point, all of these details line up. You get it from Will Fleming, which is a reliable source. Others then kind of backed it up, and Teddy didn't tell the story of interacting with Jared Carrabas, but that name came up in their conversation,
yep,
as well. And now the players are interacting. It's just, it's all very curious.
Would you like another morsel, another nugget?
Always.
Okay. So,
you
Brad
about Sharon? Bro,
huh?
About Sharon?
Are you speaking English? Because I can't even
understand. Are you about to share one?
Oh. Yeah, I saw
you
your lips
me
moving,
too. I'm sorry.
I was like,
sorry.
What?
Sorry.
Those
sorry.
Words were all blending together. Yeah, I was like, did I just have a stroke on
sorry.
My radio?
I thought he said, are you in Sharon?
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
Sorry, boys.
So, Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's at the All-Star game. And who did he happen to talk to other than Joe Ryan? And he asked him about trade rumors.
Hmm?
Of like trade rumors and being identified, that's a compliment. I would imagine, or has that been you're weird getting used to
the trade stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's fun for me. I mean, July is awesome. I think everyone in the clubhouse gets excited just seeing where guys are going to go around the league, and you don't know, and I think that's exciting. And being someone that could get traded, it would be exciting. I mean, I do love Minnesota, and I love where I'm at, so it would be sad, definitely hard to go, but at the end of the day, it's never up to me, and yeah.
Well, you've never gone through anything like this, obviously, right?
No, I mean, I'm not really paying attention to it too much. I don't look at my stats, so I don't look at even, like, articles that much. But people have, like, mentioned it, and I've looked at it, I've seen a couple things. But I'm not, like, diving into it too deep.
Bradfo, A+. This may be your best get ever. This is phenomenal. Joe Ryan just said, yes, I want to be traded. Yes, I want to be traded to the Boston Red Sox. He didn't say that part, but he said, yes, I want to be traded. Like, that's one of the most ridiculous comments I've ever. It'd be exciting. It'd be exciting to be wanted and to go somewhere. That's like somebody who's married saying, divorce would be fun. I mean, I love my wife, but I think divorce and hitting the dating scene would be fun.
I'd be sad to leave my wife, but yeah.
I'm not even sure he said he's sad about it. Like, I love Minnesota,
yeah,
but it was like, after you had just said 10 things about how it's fun to have interest at the trade deadline, exciting to be mentioned in rumors, and now you're hanging out with two all-stars from the Boston Red Sox. We have people telling us that Joe Ryan could be a target of the Boston Red Sox. Like, now I'm setting myself up for if we get to July 31st and the trade deadline passes and Joe Ryan is not a member of the Boston Red Sox, I am going to be disappointed, and I am going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Because we just did, like, surprising cuts of the Patriots and debated what would be a surprise. I now feel like it would be a surprise if Joe Ryan doesn't land with Boston.
I mean, it certainly seems like he would be at least a little bit disappointed that he's no longer being wanted. And, yes, I do see on the text line they're saying that Boston and Chicago are alphabetical. But, come on, let us dream.
They're also saying, are you with Cheryl? That's what they
probably
heard.
Closer to English than what I came
they're
out with
spend.
When my
They
when,
are.
So did I have a stroke or did you have a stroke?
No, I think I definitely had a stroke. Okay, this is what happens when you open me up for 4 hours instead of just an update once an hour.
Pace yourself, my friend. Yeah, boy. It's not just as easy as doing trending on the 20s, is
it?
No,
I know. No, I don't know how you talk as much as you do.
So that's a great question. That is a great question.
It's what his family asks every day.
No, they actually ask the opposite. I don't talk at all at home.
You shut down after the show?
I think I just shut down in general. I talk more for these 4 hours with you people and the listeners than I do with my family. Oh, my God. It's not even close.
Oh.
Yeah. No. I think I get it out of my system. Then I go home and I be quiet and I watch TV and drink a Miller Lite.
It's a good life.
But did you react to that? Like, do you if you're a, for example, if you're a Minnesota Twins fan or teammate or executive, I'm not happy with those comments.
Not great, Bob.
No.
No.
He basically said he's excited to be in trade rumors and looks forward to going somewhere. Now, going to the Red Sox, the hottest team in baseball, going to an atmosphere. I don't know. Maybe he saw Rafaela's home run and he's like, that looks pretty cool with those lights flashing and all those people cheering. I just, those would be alarming for me if I were on the Minnesota side of things. But from the Boston side of things, that makes me even more all in. You know, I've been all in. Ted Johnson hasn't been. I've been more all in on they're going to buy, they're building in the right direction, there's momentum here. And Joe Ryan feels like the piece that could put them over the top. And I know Adam Jones, for whatever reason, doesn't want to trade Jarren Duran. I don't want to unload Jarren Duran, but if you're getting Joe Ryan, doesn't that make you, I said it earlier, doesn't that give you a chance to hit the playoffs with arguably the best rotation in the playoffs?
I mean, you're probably in the top two in the American League at very worst. Like, you know, and the Yankees just lost Clark Schmidt. Yeah. The Toronto Blue Jays have good pitchers, but not necessarily
they don't have an ace. Screw them. I'm not afraid of the Blue Jays. They don't have
and
an
guys
ace.
That really haven't done much of anything in the in the playoffs, so to speak. So, yeah, you all of a sudden, I mean, not to say that Crochet or Joe Ryan have either, but that puts you in a great spot in an area that I think maybe has the most volatility for you right now. Like, I think it's very fair to say that while you have guys that are on a boom right now, so to speak, offensively. You also have guys that can give you more. So while that's the case offensively, starting pitching, you're getting the absolute best.
Okay.
And it's fair to think that Giolito could regress, Bayo could go through a little bit of a rut. I think we know what Crochet is, but to take a little pressure off of those guys and make it so that's your top four, changes your setup a lot.
That sets us up for disappointment.
Sure.
Because the Joe Ryan name is out there a lot, mm-hmm. and he's a high-ticket item, a fun item. Ken Rosenthal was talking about the Red Sox and their possibilities at the trade deadline, and he has another name he'll float out there that I think is less enticing. So Charlie Morton doesn't move my needle. Also, apologies for the spatial audio or whatever the hell that's called. Wasn't our intention, but it happens.
That was Charlie mono, Morton. Not stereo.
Yeah. Nobody wants mono.
No.
Kissing disease, Sam Darnold and company. But that is the one issue. Like, Charlie Morton is a pitcher. And the Breslow comments the other day were like, we don't want to just add a guy we can call a pitcher.
Yeah.
Is that how he phrased it? Something to that effect.
Bodies that can start or something to that effect.
He could start for you. Sure.
Sure he could.
Whatever.
He's been a starter for most of his career.
Maybe, depending on how things go, Giolito starts to nosedive, fall off. Maybe he ends up being better than Giolito. But it doesn't alter your perception of this team and its potential, I guess I would say.
If you're going to trade for Charlie Morton, just sign Rich Hill again, because you've once again proven that you're not actually really investing in this team. That is the exact equivalent to me pitching-wise to saying we need a right-handed bat and getting Danny Jansen last year. That's exactly what you're doing. So you painted yourself into a corner where, based on what you've said on your daily appearances on the Nesson pregame show, That's not good enough.
He's a pitcher, just like Danny Jansen was a right-handed bat.
Yeah, exactly. Definition-wise, nailed it. But in
Zach
terms of what you need to know.
What do you got?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing that you just said, Dan. If you spent the last month and a half talking about how you want to add, you don't want to add just for the sake of adding somebody. You want to go out and add an impact arm that can be that number two behind Garrett Crochet. And then you give me Charlie Morton. I would be so frustrated with that, and every fan should be too, because it's just more lying from this organization.
Right, and that's why...
Lying might be strong. I mean, it takes two to tango. You got to do a deal. Lying seems a little strong, Zach. It would be disappointing. It would be falling in line with past issues that you have with the organization and the interest kings and setting me up for this and then maybe accepting a little lower. I do like where the text line's brain is at. not the collective group. It's just the 617 because the group is kind of mean at times. Would you trade Christian Campbell for Joe Ryan? Dan Ball?
I mean, yeah, but that's not going to get the job done.
How do you know?
Because Christian Campbell's value is...
cost controlled.
Do you really
want to
relitigate
like
this again?
Twins.
Do you want to relitigate this again?
Sure, if you want to.
Okay. Yeah, Christian Campbell's value is as low as it's been. I don't think he's fetching you anything significant.
The rookie of the month just 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Who was so bad the next month you had to send him
down.
Who
was the reigning minor league player of the year?
Yeah, and if you traded him...
I'm just saying.
If you traded him 6 months ago, you would have gotten heaven and earth back for
him. Who has a contract that is inflation-proof for the next 8 years for a team like Minnesota? Not exactly a big market, not exactly flush.
He's also hit-proof right now, Andy. He can't hit right now.
Did you see the bomb he hit the day after or even the afternoon that I said he should be traded? You just got to push the right buttons.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
I think that actually gets you closer to Joe Ryan than you might think.
I mean, like them apples, Dan Ball. Zach Coe agrees with me.
Awesome. That's great. I don't.
It was obviously a rough month for Campbell, but development isn't linear, and I think these teams know that. And if you can get a top 15 prospect.
Wait a minute. Stop. Time. Full stop, as Breslow would say.
You're aligned. You are aligned with this.
Did you say development isn't linear?
Thank you.
Yes, I do.
There you go. See?
It's not.
You're no longer on my team.
Could have just agreed with me.
I mean, I could have, but I don't. But I just think that teams know that. And if you gave up Christian Campbell right now for Joe Ryan, you gave up more for a worse pitcher than what you gave up for Garrett Crochet, in my opinion. To me, like, that's just not something that they should be doing. I love Joe Ryan, and I would move mountains to get him here. But I draw the line at one of Campbell, Meyer, and Anthony.
Campbell is on your do not touch list?
Yeah, I just think the ceiling is so high with him there.
Is it? Are you sure about that? What position does he play?
I think long-term he's a first baseman.
Oh, long-term he's a first baseman.
Yeah.
A position he's never played.
Correct, but I think he can learn it. Like, I think, like, it's with all these guys. I think athleticism wins out. That's why when you look at their draft board, it's so many shortstops and center fielders, because if you can just be an athlete, you can stick anywhere, and I think Campbell can do that.
How's that worked for them as not only the worst major league defensive team in baseball in recent years, but according to a source that I call Craig Breslow, they have defensive deficiencies at all levels of their organization.
I think that's more of a developmental issue than
it's
it
not
is
linear,
a player
you
with
know.
The players. No, it isn't. But and that's not to say that Christian Campbell isn't on my do not touch list. Like, I would trade Roman Anthony for Paul Skeens if the Pirates were ever willing to do that. I just think giving up more for Joe Ryan than you gave up for Garrett Crochet is not a great move organizationally.
This is a quick
I repeat, thing. All levels.
You don't like Kyle Teal?
No, I don't like Kyle Teal.
Wow. This is a quick aside. It's so much more fun to be the sidecar of you grilling whoever's behind the glass than being the one that's being grilled.
It's fun.
Yeah.
No, and I appreciate that you guys can have a back and forth and not get sensitive when I yell at you or poke holes in your arguments or whatever.
You want to name names on that? I would not. I don't think he's enough. I saw the text line saying Campbell and the password Justinson Garcia. I think it's just my own personal opinion. They want pitching help if they're gonna. They want a young prospect pitcher if they're gonna make this deal.
Okay, well, I'm not doing the Toley kid. But the good news is you drafted all pitchers last year, and you drafted a boatload of pitchers this year.
Yeah,
I did a little reading up on that too.
Oh yeah, tell me.
You drafted a high 90s and 100-mile-an-hour guy out of Oklahoma and Tennessee, baby.
Wow.
Now, the Tennessee guy, a little wild. There's some issues there with control. But he has an interesting arm angle and great vertical movement, horizontal movement, some sort of movement.
Well, it's not linear, so, you know.
So, no, you're adding pitchers to the organization. Now, I'm not saying Toley is on the table for Joe Ryan, but I mean, you might have to consider trading some pitching to get pitching. Because you're trying to win, right?
Yes.
Just wanted to clarify. We're done with the Bloom era or the, like, 3 years from now or when this guy gets here. No.
You definitely have to start trading prospects. I agree with that.
Prospects for major league talent.
Yep.
And did you ever get back to me on your research?
That's a bit broad.
The prospect that bit them in the ass?
Oh, the best I got, I think, was Hanley Ramirez in the in the Beckett-Lowell trade.
Good.
Didn't necessarily
directly. What did you win with Beckett?
World Series.
Oh, it's interesting
how
that works.
As well.
Interesting how that works.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't trade Christian Campbell. I'm saying that Christian Campbell doesn't get the job done in the trade. You got to give more because his value is too low.
You
and
never
that's,
know.
That's why I would not make a trade involving him right now.
Okay. So I would trade Christian Campbell. I would trade him as a package that doesn't include Toley that I've known now for weeks and weeks and fallen
Absolutely.
In love with what I've read about him because I do want young pitching to become a part of this team. But if you can add veteran pitching to this team, you might just win a World Series sooner rather than later.
We're not going to sacrifice wins tomorrow for wins today.
Oh, wow. Now Brezbot is actually using real quotes from Breslow. Now it's like, it's a circle here that I'm not quite ready for.
Back here on Jones and Keith, WEEI, no Jones today. Billy Lanny has slid over. Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast is here until high noon. You can join us at 617-779-7937. But before we go any further, I do want to thank the New England Revolution, oh, who have once again come through. Another kit.
This man. Guy in his jerseys.
I love jerseys. The Revs know it, and I love the Revs. Tough result last night. Tough result last night for the Revs.
Oh, you're so in the bag for them now.
Of course I am. I mean. This is the, you can see it here, the 96. It's a throwback. That was the first year of the MLS. It's awesome. Do you want to...
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
It's Jones and Keith, Fashion Police.
All right, Jones obviously isn't here. I'm going to give this, fittingly, a 96. I'm going to scale to 100,
oh,
Bradford.
Wow.
We go 0 to 100 on these.
Wow.
I think they're scale. They're pretty badass. Landy, explain it to the listener.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm perfect at that. So... So we got some stripes on the top. We got the Adidas stripes down the sleeve.
Yep.
We got Revolution in blue with a white banner behind it. And then the bottom is a red color, but it's a, I don't know, what kind of red would
it's
you
a red
call
hue?
It? Yeah, it's got a red hue to it.
It's a red hue.
That's for us colorblind people, it looks orange.
It says Revolution in like their Revolution font. It's got a 96 on it. What are the people in the Twitch chat think? If you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, you could see this bad boy. I really do enjoy it. I think it's a very good one.
What's your favorite? Power rank your team jerseys now.
I know that Revs won.
Oh, City Connect. That one you're wearing right
now. I do love the Red Sox City Connect.
Did put a fuss up about that City Connect.
I know.
Well, that was not number one.
I think he walked so he could run when it came
yeah,
to,
gotcha.
To this jersey.
No,
yeah.
The New England has, or the Boston teams have good uniforms. They do.
Can I tell you, at the All-Star game, we had a lot of great social media content. Right?
Yes, you did.
But the biggest post, the most viewed post, not even close. I had people coming up to me on the field saying, that crept into my feed. That was so awesome. It was the picture of the Connor Siebold Red Sox jersey I saw.
Nice. Connor Siebold.
Had to have been related to
that
him.
Is a classic.
Yeah, no, I chased him down to get the whole story.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it wasn't that great. No. it was also not Connor Siebold.
Usually the chase is better than the actual kill. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. George down in Texas. And Nick, once again. Oh, there we go. I got it. George, what do you got?
Hey, Rob. It seems to me the last 2-3 years, the bottom's dropped out a little bit post-All-Star break. I'm of a mind that it's a overtaxed bullpen realizing itself in August. And so I'm looking at this year. I don't see the bullpen starting pitcher split through the All-Star break. But has there been enough from the starters to mitigate that post-All-Star break, or do you think they'll still need something internally? And then as a quick aside, I heard you talking about Eovaldi, the 3-year contract. Is it true the reports that the Red Sox wanted Buehler for longer than 1 year, but Buehler bet on himself, wanted a 1-year deal, then to go back into the market next year? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you about Buehler. All I know is about Eovaldi. I think Eovaldi was their first choice in that spot, and they almost got him, but they gave him that extra year. With the bullpen, if you go back to last year, they were, once again, 10 games over .500. And in case we forget, they went to L.A. and then they went to Colorado. And I asked Breslow about this, lessons learned. You go into those series, you didn't have Slayton, you didn't have Martin. You knew that we didn't know that time. You didn't have Kenley in Colorado because of his heart condition. You didn't have the back end of your bullpen, and you were relying on Zach Kelly, who took a turn for the worse. And you lost half of those games because you did not do anything to help the bullpen. Like, that's where you have to protect yourself. And I do think, to answer your question, yeah, you have starters going deeper. There's no question about it. I mean, these Crochet complete games. Giolito's playing well. By the way, a little Giolito fun fact.
Oh, another one? We got a lot of Giolito fun facts.
I know. I love giving you Giolito
fun facts. A Hollywood family, for God's sake.
Well, as I told Pete Crow Armstrong the other day, yes, his mother acted with Pete Crow Armstrong's mother. Because as
that's
I texted
right, you told me this, yes.
Yeah, his mother was the mother of Little Big League. Giolito was You know the story that came out about how he prepares for his starts playing MLB The Show, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
And he's like, I don't necessarily love playing it.
It's film work.
But but he got so frustrated with his stamina rating that he contacted MLB The Show to fix it.
I don't think that's that crazy. I feel like that's
because
when the Madden ratings come out,
yeah,
players get fired up over
they
that
get
stuff,
real mad.
Their instincts are keen because in the Futures game, I said to this guy, Noah Schultz, who was one of the White Sox top prospects, I'm like, aspirational goals. Lucas Giolito has that kind of cachet where he can change his rating. He's like, actually, I emailed them about me throwing 100. And then actually my teammate, he also emailed them with clips of him throwing.
Oh my God! Like, EA Sports is gonna be like, "Stop sending us stuff." Right. Like, we got it. We're in charge of this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But so, do you think bullpen arm is a bigger need than rotation?
No.
Okay,
no,
I think rotation.
Because that exact reason, like you still need a guy that you can rely on because you don't know what Bueller's going to be. You don't know what Richard Fitz and Dobbins is out now, and you got to protect yourself if one of these guys takes a turn for the worse. But you do need a bullpen arm. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I think you can't just say Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman, yeah, he's great. He's bench pressing 350. Like, great, good for him. But it's you might take a turn for the worse, and you don't have Slayton, and you don't know what Hicks is going to be. Yeah, so I think that it's starter first, that second, and then making sure that your lineup continues to score 15 runs a game third.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Bill in Belchertown. Nick, I think you have to pot him up again. That's not working over here. Bill, what do you got?
Well, one thing I was calling about was Weatherspoon, Tyson Weatherspoon. They drafted him, and the Red Sox never go for pitchers. They got him at the 15th pick, and 9 shortstops were taken ahead of him. So he was really the fifth or fourth pitcher taken, big guy. And if you compare him to Crochet, what I looked up was the chances of a guy coming out of college going right into the pros without a day in the minors. And actually, Crochet has done that, and only few have done that. So why can't the Red Sox take this guy, do the exact same thing, and get him in the rotation? You're looking for an arm, put him there. And last thing is, I'm almost 70 years old. I was in Fenway Park in 1964 when Tony Canigliaro hit the first pitch he saw for his first home run in Fenway Park. I've been a Red Sox fan ever since. And he's the man, Tony C. That's all I got. Thank
you. Good stuff, Bill. Rack 'em. So they're not going to bring up the college kid
we
to
love
be in the
that,
rotation
though.
This year.
Remember Durbin
a lot of
Feldman?
Good stats, yeah.
Durbin Feldman, remember him?
No.
He was going to be the guy, but I think it was back in 2018,
yeah,
when they were making their runs, and he was like, everyone said, oh, he's the closest to the majors. They draft this kid out of TCU, a reliever, in the third round. Everyone's screaming and yelling, Durbin Feldman's going to help save the bullpen, poor guy.
No. You know who Chris Sale did it. Chris Sale never played in the minors?
No, Chris Sale, like, he...
Oh, came up with
that
the
year,
yeah,
the
yeah.
year he was drafted.
John Olerud never played in the minors.
Ooh.
Hey, like that. Oh. Although I think he had like a rehab assignment late in his career, but he was one of those two guys. But no, I wouldn't worry about the draft necessarily. I love the passion and the Tony C shout out, but
baseball player of the day?
Hell
like,
yeah.
At some point before I leave? Yeah. No, I mean, I just
want to
do you want to do it?
Do
you have one on deck?
Yeah. Are you going to pick one or we're going
to? No, I want you guys to pick one. I want to see if I can do it.
Nick is struggling enough to find one for today. Now you're going to make him find a second one.
No, I'll do one. I'll do one that.
You know what you should do? You have to do an all-star.
Did you hear yesterday's?
I'll give you an all-star.
I mean, it's not named Scott Cooper.
Did you catch yesterday's random player?
No.
You remember it off the top of your head, some of the stats?
No.
Okay, no. I'll come up with one.
There's a one-time All-Star. He pitched for the Blue Jays and the Padres and the Cardinals. I remember that.
Blue Jays.
We're not doing yesterday's guy. It was Woody Williams. The answer's Woody Williams. All right. Jaron Duran, does he finish the season with the Red Sox?
I think so, but I think that the – you know, everyone knows that the Padres really love him. I mean, that's the
oh my God, every day there's a new article about how much they love him.
And he said this goes back to before last year. And so the wild card is that the GM of the Padres is a much better basketball playing version of Dave Dombrowski, AJ Preller. He is legit, like,
good
player. He is known throughout baseball as a guy he grabs reporters to say, do you know where I can play basketball at 6 o'clock in the morning? On the road.
Guy's just a gamer.
He's a gamer. But he's not afraid to make trades.
All right.
And so that's the wild card in all of this. I will say this, is that Jaron Duran, and I've had players say this, if they trade Jaren Duran, there's going to be damage control in that clubhouse.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
This isn't Devers.
I don't think it's worth it. They like him. But then the next question would be, long-term, Duran, Anthony, Rafael Abreu, how do you go about that?
I think
for this season, yeah, right. For this season, you can do it, but for beyond, you can't.
And I don't know if you know, these things have a way of figuring themselves out.
Sadly, someone's getting hurt. But,
but
like to start next year, you don't want to have one of those guys not in the lineup.
No, they have to make a move.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't think there's any question. And think about it, you know, when it comes to the Devers thing, if they had Devers, you could make the argument Rafaela doesn't do what he's doing. Like, it's like, because they're tying themselves in the knots trying to figure out where to play guys.
Well, even Roman Anthony's DH'd a bunch of games already.
Yeah. I mean, Roman Anthony has been, if you talk about the most, if you want a power, I love a good power ranking.
Oh, same.
If you want a power rank, the most important things that have allowed them to do what they're doing recently, Roman Anthony is near the top of that list. They had to have a good Roman Anthony because they basically put him and said, go be Rafael Devers. And
yeah,
you know
hits
what?
Second in the order, DH a bunch of games. Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah. So anyway, with the Jaren Duran thing, I'll come back to it. I know that, as I told you last week, I know that they've introduced him to teams and talks, but they're also not blind to the fact is that this would be a serious damage control. And you do that, you take a huge chance. Remember a couple years ago, was it Devin Williams who was traded Milwaukee
to the Yankees? Right?
No. He signed with the or Josh Hader. Milwaukee made his trade. I think
Hader.
I'm sorry. It was Josh Hader. It was Josh Hader
to the Astros.
Yeah. So yeah. Josh Hader got traded. The Brewers are firmly in the playoff contention. They trade him, and like then they just hit the skids.
Yeah.
Like that is a very real thing where you're like, what? And remember the last example we have of this. Is Christian Vasquez.
Oh, the team that like
remember
a beauty about
Bogart.
It.
Oh, Bogart's like, all not, sad. Not happy. He was super sad.
Which, ironically, they should have traded Bogarts and not Vasquez. Or maybe both.
I mean, they held on to all those guys.
That was wild. Let's go to Dave on the Cape. He joins us next. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Can I suggest a trade, but you need to give me a minute to explain it?
Yeah, you take two.
Okay, so Pittsburgh isn't going to let Paul Skeens go, right?
Well, I'm going to let you go.
No,
I was kidding. Go ahead, Dave.
Give me a minute. Yeah. So they won't be able to pay him in 2 or 3 years because he's going to cost too much money for him.
Well, he's
and
under team
wait
control
the end,
for like
he
five
did with
years.
Mookie,
but okay.
Oh, that long? Well, I was thinking it was shorter, but like if you wait like Mookie, you get nothing for him in the long run, you know? So I was thinking trade a couple of our starters, a couple outfielders, and even Christian Campbell and maybe a pitcher to four guys that can start for Pittsburgh, and they would definitely – you know, be a better team, but...
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call.
I love fake trades.
Yeah. I love fake trades. I also love Paul Skeens, but we talked about this the other day. It probably will be like Chris Sale, but you're going to use him for way longer, then trade him with like a year or two left. Or you just make him the highest paid player of all time.
Yeah, you have five more years of Paul Skeens.
You do. They have him until 2030. So they don't need to worry about this.
There's going to be a lot of Livy Dunn walking the red carpet with Pittsburgh Pirate Paul Skeens.
When Paul Skeens, I love they show him starting the All-Star game, ERA under 2, million strikeouts, 4-8 record. Like he's like lost like 1-0 games. Like he's just, it's insane.
He is one of the guys, though, we talk about the state of baseball and having the player that you need to see. Paul Skeens is that guy, right? But like
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember, I almost, you know, in spring training, you hear Paul Skeens is pitching 2 innings in Bradenton. Well, I'll make the 2-hour drive to go watch him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's not a lot of guys like that in baseball, but he's definitely one of them.
Definitely. All right, we can continue to take your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We'll also get a random baseball player for Bradford. Ooh. See how quickly.
By the way, it's National Tattoo Day.
Nice. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Where's my camera?
You're on
They're
Twitch.
Everywhere.
Sick brag, bro.
Yeah, just hold it up there. This camera's there. Yeah.
We're all tatted up in here. So
are you?
Yeah. Yeah, same Billy. Yeah.
You have a tattoo?
I got two on my back.
You do?
Yeah.
I did not.
What do you think this is?
How many tattoos you
have? I have four of them.
Four?
Yeah. Get in line, Bradford.
Oh, wow.
I got like all four of them when I just, and I might have been at like a fresh 18 and 19.
I was going to say, one of mine was at 18.
Mine was
and
like.
You could tell which.
Right. It was funny too because my dad's like, you're never getting a tattoo, never get a tattoo. And then once I turned 18, he stopped caring and I had four within like that 2-year span.
Yeah.
Those guys, you guys have tattoos? No?
I got two.
College Tom. There you go.
Real life. I'm a college grad, Keith. Come on.
That's how people know
a lot of money.
It's how people know you. It's
going to
be your
name.
10 years from now, you're going to be college Tom.
Better than Gambling Tom.
It is better. Yeah, well,
Rick,
what do you got?
Gambling Tom's good. I got a cross on my ribs, and I got a shield in the back of my calf from my grandparents.
Ribs.
There you go.
Well, I just
rib, that one had to hurt.
Yeah, it was the first one of 18.
I just want everyone to celebrate.
I got the pain out of the way early.
It's not every day.
You know what they do now? These guys get knocked out now. There's like a whole story. Anthony Richardson, a couple years ago, the quarterback for the Colts, he got like his entire back tattooed, but he like got like knocked out.
Oh, yeah. That's Jared Duran did that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That doesn't count.
It shouldn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Oh,
you
hurt.
Need to be awake for it.
Doing this, like, it hurt.
Oh, of course.
You know
yeah,
how
you got it in a weird spot. Like, it right
weird
up in,
right
like,
up in the
sensitive
armpit.
Spot.
How
yeah,
I would
yeah.
describe it as, after a little while, it's like somebody's poking a sunburn.
Yeah,
it's
yes,
like, that's
right.
probably the best way I can describe
excellent
what it's
analogy.
Like to get a tattoo.
Yeah, right. Sorry, please stop. Yeah. All right, anyway, we'll do random player and more of your phone calls. Bradford until noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.
Thank you, Sean. So I mentioned Baseball Brett, and doesn't Baseball Brett call the show right away? I'm assuming to express his disgust with Mego.
I'm sorry.
Brett, good morning.
I mean, I have blonde hair. Is this bad? Bad introduction to Mego.
I know.
Good morning.
I understand. I mean, she
Mega,
said...
Mego, I've heard nothing but great things. This is bad.
Brett, may I ask a personal question?
Oh, boy. All right.
Are you of Swedish descent?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's no excuse for you.
Oh, so wait, you give the Swedes a pass?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I just assume right. like 90% of people from Sweden are blonde.
Right. I mean, it's weird for an entire group of the male species to gross you out because
it's
of their
I
hair.
I didn't say gross What's me out. Way? I said it's odd.
It's. I it's, don't think you said.
It's
did
a bit
she say
strange.
Odd?
She said weird.
It's
I think
weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Like a Brett has no choice in what hair color he was born with.
Well, he could dye it.
Yeah, Shime's friend buzzes it.
Well, buzz.
Yeah.
He could do something to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, on behalf of the radio station, I apologize, Baseball Brett.
Yeah, it's okay. We're good.
What do you want your baseball team to do?
So if you look back since 2018, they have not had a winning season in the second half. So I think the Craig Breslow trade deadline is really, really important because they have not had success. Alex Cora is a great first half manager, but the only reason to be concerned is because they've had talent in the past and they have not had any success in the second half of the season. So I know Mego was talking about the trade deadline yesterday, and you guys were talking about the trade deadline from last year with Craig and how she doesn't have a lot of confidence in him. But I think this is a really important trade deadline for the Sox because I think they do have talent, and I think they could make a good postseason run. But Craig does need to add a good – I told you, I think, last week, Greg, I think they need a quality starting pitcher. And I think they need a quality bullpen arm. I think those two things would really get them some momentum going into the second half and make a nice postseason run. So those would be my two adds if I had to do it.
Do they have to give up somebody like Jaron
no.
Durant to get a quality arm? They do not.
No, they still have, despite them bringing up all of their minor leaguers this year. They brought up three. They still have like a top five, top 10 minor league system. So they still can get those. They can still get a quality pitcher and a quality relief pitcher from their surplus of minor leaguers. And if you look at a lot of the trade deadlines over the past several years, no top 100 prospects were even traded. Now the activity at the trade deadline hasn't been crazy, but I think the Red Sox could pull off a starting pitcher and also a bullpen arm without giving up anything. The only thing you need to do is just sit Yoshida, just not play Yoshida at DH as much as they are and rotate the outfielders into the DH. And I think that solves that problem. But yeah, you can do it. You can do it pretty easily with just giving up your prospects. So that's how I would do it.
Brett, so we've been talking about this. The name that got kind of thrown around because of Bradford was Joe Ryan with the Twins. So you could get a guy like that for just prospects.
Yeah. So the reason why Joe Ryan is the popular name out there, and I have a couple other ones out there, but it's hard. So you want a guy back with term, right? So you want a guy back. Joe Ryan has 2 years after this year. He's getting 2 years back at controllable cost. I'll throw out another one, Nate Eovaldi. Nate Eovaldi's got 2 years left, but he's higher price wig. So he has, I think he signs like a 3 year, $75 million before this year. But obviously, Alex Cora is very comfortable with him. The Red Sox like him, but he's $25 million. So he's not going to cost you as much, right? And the Texas Rangers are kind of on the fringe of the playoffs. But someone like that who has, can thrive in Boston, someone like that who's a big game pitcher, Joe Ryan would fit right in here, but he has term left. So he is going to cost a lot. I think you can get him from prospects. That's my perspective. But there's also 15 other teams out there that are trying to do the same thing that the Red Sox are doing. So the cost is going to be high, but the cost is always high at the deadline for guys like that. For fringe guys, like I think Greg mentioned Charlie Morton earlier, for fringe guys like that, the cost is not going to be very high. But for a guy like Joe Ryan, who is a number two-ish pitcher and would fit right into the rotation here, yeah, the cost is going to be pretty high. But he's got 2.5 years of term left. And that's why the Red Sox should treat Jaron Duran, in retrospect, that's how the Red Sox should treat Jaron Duran. He's got 3.5 years of term left at not a lot of money. So the cost on those players should be high, just like it should be high for Joe Ryan, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Rosenthal, I think, brought up Charlie Morton because he's close with Alex Cora.
Yeah, he would be like a 4-5. He got off to an awful start. He's pitching better now, but he would be like a 4-5. He would be a body. He would throw innings, and he does have a big game mentality. He has playoff experience. It would be an interesting fit. It wouldn't be my top choice, but he would serve the purpose of throwing innings. He has experience. He would fit into the clubhouse. He's an experienced guy. Yeah, it would fit the measurables that they're looking for, but it wouldn't be my first choice.
Can you get any value for moving Cassis?
That's funny. I think Cassis has value. I think Cassis has value, especially for a small market team. He still has 4 years of control left. He's kind of an odd guy, but he's not making any money. 4 years of control, and I think he does have value. He's coming off a pretty serious injury, but that was he'll have a full year of recovery. I think there's value there. I think that's exactly the type of creative trade that I think Craig Breslow would be looking to make. I think Craig has to be creative to improve this year's club, and I think trading someone like Cassis would have value.
All right, finally, from your perspective, longtime, lifelong Red Sox fan, am I overvaluing the importance of chemistry on a baseball team? I've been accused of that throughout the morning, Brett.
No, I don't think you are, Greg. I think this team, I think this team really enjoys the Boston experience. I think they're winning. I think you're absolutely right. I think that does have a huge impact on the second half. I also think, and this goes back to making that trade for Rafael Devers, I think what that did is I think it gave a little bit of a runway for Alex Bregman to be Alex Bregman and have some of his intangibles on the field and off the field. I think that plays larger in the clubhouse by getting rid of Rafael Devers. Immense talent. But I think there was a little bit of walking on eggshells. I think Jen McCaffrey just had a really good story about the impact of Alex Bregman in the clubhouse, how players go to him and see what he would do in a certain situation. And I think he keeps them on their toes. And I think that is the vibe. I think that is the chemistry he's adding to that. And a player like Alex Bregman in the second half, that's why I'm a little bit more confident in the chemistry, in the vibes going into the second half of this year compared to years past, is because a player like Alex Bregman has all of the winning intangibles to bring to this clubhouse. I think that makes a huge impact. I don't think they've had someone like that in the past. So okay. I don't think you're overplaying the chemistry, Greg. Not at all.
Baseball Brett, not bad for an adult blonde male. Mego.
I'm going to feel bad about this later.
Nah, don't feel bad about it.
I know it.
I mean, I wouldn't go out publicly for a while where when there are blonde men around, they might be angry, might want to state their case.
That's scary. Well, yes. An angry blonde man is not a sight worse. That I want to behold.
Yeah, I mean,
men judge all the time. Why can't ladies judge?
Yeah, Wiggy's trying to like get me to go further now. During the break, he's like, "Don't apologize."
No, I wouldn't apologize for
ten toes down.
What you like? Now you said not everybody. Like, listen, not everybody likes vanilla ice cream when they go to the ice cream parlor. Some people are like, "Nah, I don't like it. It tastes funny to me."
It's a great point.
You know.
Yeah.
Stand on your beliefs.
Oh my God! Yeah. Twitch chat is so right. Jeffrey Dahmer was blonde.
So true. Yes, he was. Wow, it's a good one.
I don't know if that's
wasn't
true.
Wasn't Ted
or not.
Bundy also blonde? Dirty blonde?
Been. No way. Was he?
He might
have
been.
Double check.
I think you're correct about that. At least the dude that they had playing him in the movie was blonde.
Okay, these black and white pictures make it look like he has very dark hair. I lied.
No. Okay, well, they're black and white, so I'm not sure that's conclusive.
All right. The Bundy movie was okay. The Dahmer movie was excellent, I thought.
Yeah, the show?
Was good. Yeah, the show.
I couldn't get through it. It was too gross.
Really?
Yeah, and like many basic women, I read a lot about serial killers and stuff.
Okay.
But I didn't want to, like, see it. It was too disturbing to watch for me.
So wait, you're sort of like Courtney, where you're totally into the true crime,
I think,
like weird serial killer
but
stuff?
But I'm not as into the... like the court cases as they're happening.
Like
the
she's
things,
obsessed with Brian Koberger
yeah,
in that trial.
I don't like things that have just happened. I feel like it's too close.
Oh,
it's
you
too
need some
sad.
Distance?
Yeah. Exactly. Right, yeah. Answers. So like I just was reading Shime knows. I was reading a book about H.H. Holmes, who was the serial killer in Chicago during like the 1800s World Fair. That's more my
one of the very first serial killers in America.
Yeah.
Really?
We did a segment over the 4th of July that Ken loved.
Oh.
It was called, "Is This an Old-Timey Red Sox Player or an Old-Timey Serial Killer?"
Yeah. I mean, that could be an issue if Ken likes it. Just kidding. All right,
he does being a single Disney adult.
So wait, what turned him into a serial killer during the World's Fair? Was he...
Oh, he just took advantage of the crowds who were showing up to the city. You know, people, when there's big event, it's easier for people to disappear.
Huh.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Devil in the White City. Great book. Highly recommend.
Okay.
Came out like 20 years ago at this point.
Well, there'd be a good one for you on Netflix from a blonde guy. The Ed Gein story is going to be played by...
Ed Gein? Yeah.
Is played by...
He was a tractor salesman and a serial killer.
Yeah.
Ed Gein.
Charlie... Hunnam. I've seen him act before, and I like him.
Hunnam,
and he's in Sons of Anarchy, but he's a blonde dude, and he's going to be playing that in the next Monsters trilogy,
one
they did about Jeffrey Dahmer on Netflix,
and
then the other
that
guy.
That was good. I'll watch that.
Yeah, so this
When's
one...
When's that coming out?
This one is coming out. It is... let me see.
Is Gein the one that Silence of the Lambs is based off of?
Yes.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Top five movie for me.
Says September 19th. No, that was, wait a second. So it's, I don't know the exact date about it, but they're filming it now with him as.
What's the deal? I'm getting text messages with questions about this. The murder house of H.H. Holmes?
Yeah.
Is it?
He had a hotel.
So what was the deal with it?
There were
trap
doors and stuff and areas that he could hold people. And
really?
Wow.
It's crazy. It's a crazy story.
And torture
And I think Leonardo DiCaprio has the film rights. And he's had them for like 10 years. And everybody's waiting for him to make this movie. Like Scorsese needs to take that on.
So he was legit like the first real serial killer in the United States of America.
No, there were some before that.
There were
but he was like the one, like he was probably the earliest, like most famous one.
Yeah. The first one that wasn't a long haul trucker. Okay. We will be right back.
That was the Spittin' Chicklets podcast raving about the Boston Red Sox.
Sounded like someone trying to do a bad Lou Merlone impersonation.
A little bit.
I was Ryan Whitney, Milton's
was that
own,
the
I
pink,
think.
Was that the pink Whitney?
Yeah.
Also, if you love Marcello that much, it's Meyer. Not Mayor.
He got Sedan right and Meyer wrong.
Oh my God. I tried to spell Sedan again today for the poll.
I told you it's. I've never spelled it correctly once.
Two D's, two N's. That's all you got to remember. That's how I did it last year when I
produced the Red Sox. You know what?
If there's anyone who knows about two D's and two N's,
it turned it to like verbose or something. It changed it to a word that was nothing like Sedan. That's how different it was. It was like, there's no way you're trying to spell Sedan, so I'm going to give you a totally different word. It was
mine's
not.
Gone. My phone's gone like say damn, cellophane. Like
no.
It's
It was a word that started with a V. It changed it to.
Did you type a V by accident?
No.
They are next to each other on the
keyboard.
Are you sure?
I am positive. Don't question
Vulgary.
Me, Dan.
But they're right next to each other on the keyboard.
Now.
Okay.
Vaginal.
No, it wasn't that. So we should probably just move on
a classic Andy Hart word.
We should just move on to the contents of the poll before we get to our game. My poll today on @JumboHart.
Just say the poll.
@WEEIAfternoons.
It's a great poll.
Which player currently on the roster is most critical to the Red Sox success over the second half of the season? I said reply with other names if you don't like these four choices. The options I gave were Garrett Crochet, Aroldis Chapman, Trevor Story, Sadon Rafaela. And right now, Fitzy, do you have
Can
a guess? Sure.
Garrett Crochet with 41%.
Garrett Crochet with 65%.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Not only a majority, but almost two-thirds?
And despite the fact that one comment was like, it's stupid to put Crochet on there. He only pitches every 5 days. Not right or something. And I was like, except 65% believe he's the answer. Second place. Who do you think's in second place on the list between Chapman, Story, and Rafaela?
Well, if they listen to our show, and of course St. Bregman, they would know it should be Trevor Story.
And they do, and they did, and they have.
Atta
they voted.
Boy/girls.
17% say it's Trevor Story, 11% say it's Sadon Rafaela, and only 7% think the all-star closer is critical over the second half of the season. So, interesting. I kind of agree with them in the Crochet sense. I think a Crochet derailing could derail the team.
Absolutely.
If he goes on the IL or if he suddenly looks, oh my God, he's got soreness, he can't pitch, we got to pull him after four.
Oh no, he's got arm fatigue, it's too many innings.
Any of that, I think, because it's not just the start, I think that is a deflating overall.
Oh, for the rest of the rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've established that.
Bale's like, wait, am I the ace again?
Well, that's the thing, because.
I can't do that, I screwed that up 2 years ago.
Since the All-Star break last year, he's a 3-2-4 pitcher, so he's very good, but. I don't want him as my ace.
Nope.
I don't want Giolito as my two. I don't want Walker Buehler as my three. On down the line, on
you
down the line.
You said Walker Buehler would never pitch again, so you're...
I still think history is going to prove me right, but I'm wrong so far, which is kind of how this thing seems to work.
I want and need you to be wrong, Dan Ball. In fact, actually, he could... I'm hoping that he doesn't have to elevate to the three, but I think he's capable of it, whereas I do not believe there's anyone on this roster or in this rotation that is capable of being a number one for more than, like, two starts in case the beast goes down.
100%.
All right, it's time for my favorite game, and we're going to stick just to the Boston Red Sox for today's version of More Likely over the second half of the season here in Boston.
Love it.
So the first one, Dan Ball, I'll let you start us off.
All right.
More likely the Sox win the AL East or miss the playoffs?
Oh, win the AL East.
Yeah,
boy.
Can't spell Homer without Dan Ball.
That's right. Don't look it up. I think at this point there is something that's just different with this group.
Oh, do they have it? Are they special?
He's such a homer. He's such a homer.
I think they might have a little bit of it. The vibe, the aura, the whatever. And I think there's regression that's going to happen. This is a tough stretch. This 12-game stretch where you're playing a bunch of division leaders.
But it's only 12 games.
And every single team individually hasn't been as good as their record would suggest. Philly is 19-19 since the beginning of June. That's .500. Chicago was 13-13 in June. They're 8-4 in July, but do with that what you will. And the Dodgers lost 7 in a row before taking 2 against Devers and the Giants to end the All-Star break.
Stink.
Right. And then
but they always rise up, Dan. The Dodgers always play the Sox.
So do the Red Sox over the second half of the season.
I know. We talked a lot about this 9-game gauntlet, boys, but it's really kind of like 15, right? Because you've got the after the 9 games with the Cubbies and the Phillies and the Dodgers. Then you got 3 against the Twinks, and then you got...
The Astros are in there somewhere?
The Astros after that. So it's a 15-game stretch. And Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they playing the the Twin Cities' favorite sons when the trade deadline comes up and around?
Yep. Yes, they are. So Mitchell Joe Ryan is pitching for you, not against you.
Hey, he's just going to switch clubhouses. That's all there is. He's just going to walk from one to the other.
And we're going
to
ignore those reports today that he's not likely to be traded. Screw you. He's going to be traded.
Oh, on that topic, we could get into this more later because Fitzy has to answer and you have a whole list.
I do.
The pessimism that just kind of came out of nowhere in Red Sox Nation today, at least online, reports and fan. What is going on? What happened to going all in at the trade deadline?
Oh, we're all in, and Joe
Ryan's
going to be
here. It seemed like it just shifted overnight.
No, Joe Ryan's coming.
I'll tell you exactly what happened, boys, that people took the All-Star break to fall in love with this team because they reviewed box scores and thought about it too long and too hard in absence of actually any games. And they're like, well, geez, I mean, if we won 10 games in a row, we got a decent bullpen. The rotation, we've got like three aces. We got more arms coming back, even though Dobbins is out for the season. This lineup is stacked. We got four all-star outfielders. Don't trade anyone. You can't do that. Can't do that. Don't fall too in love with this team now. They got to make one more move.
Fitzy, more likely they win the AL East or miss the playoffs.
Boom, howdy, AL East.
I knew it.
Love it.
We're such a homer
Let's
show,
go.
But I would have voted the
but
same
I know,
thing.
This
They're
is
rolling,
a real,
baby.
Andy, this is a real thing. That was not an anomalous streak. And also, lest we remember, how come they can't play the Rays every time? They swept a division rival who was ahead of them in the standings four straight. In the process, winning 3 one-run games, something they were incapable of doing the majority of the rest of the season prior. The pivot is real.
Including in a game where they lost their starting pitcher to a torn ACL in the second inning. Right? That was an opportunity
that's a hell of,
to fall
that's
apart.
A bad beat.
Big time. That is
that's almost like your wife getting the trots and not being able to go to call play.
You know, if I were your wife, I'm not sure I would love that you're literally broadcasting her digestive issues, as I call them, for everyone to talk about and hear about.
Well,
how's that playing in the household?
That seems like an issue and not an issue.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just trying to give him some advice. That's a step I wouldn't take. I get the anger and I get the detail, but I might have left that out of the story, but whatever. Good for you.
Disappointment is a hell of a drug. Andy, you got to speak it into existence. You have to expel it to move on, right?
Yes. So Ted Johnson has set the bar, which, quick aside for our Twitch chatters, John in the car stole Ted's take, called Christian Arcan last night and was like, as long as this team goes 6-6 in the next 12, they're fine. John in the car, you fraud. Love you, mean it, but that was not cool. That was snaking, a taking,
and doing
something.
How do you call someone a fraud, then love you, mean it, all within the same sentence?
That's the confusion of Andy. More likely that in this next 12-game stretch, Fitzy, they go 9-3 or 3-9?
Oh, I'm playing one home rally. I mean, this is every take is coming straight from a Sal's pizza stand on Jersey Street with a cold Sam in hand. 9-3.
So 9-3 would make them 19-3 in 22-game stretch heading into and out of the All-Star break. Dan Ball, more likely they go 9-3 or 3-9?
3-9. But I think they can bounce back.
No. There's no but this.
Kick his ass. See,
well, I just said that they're going to win the American League East. So they will bounce back. They will still be aggressive at the trade deadline, but it will come because you're starting to teeter a little bit. So we need to add something to this group.
I got
to
tell you, there will be a lot of people jumping off the bandwagon if they go 3-9. See, I told you, when they play real teams, this is who they are. They're not real good. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but how many times has that happened already this season?
That's Pink Hat Fanwagon Central, boys. Yeah. I can't stand that.
How many times already this season have people gotten off the bandwagon just to get back on?
Including me.
Yeah, I know.
I have no more punches left on my ticket. I have to stay on the remainder of the season, I've been told.
That would be the example of just when I think I'm in, they push me back out.
Yeah.
3-9 in this next stretch would try to push me back out.
Right.
More likely, Garrett Crochet, Dan Ball, wins the Cy Young or has a long IL stint.
Do I have to stay true to my 3-point stance?
I'm just asking you. You can answer
yes, we
any
have receipts.
Way you want. More likely Garrett Crochet wins the Cy Young award or has a long IL stint.
Tarek Skubal still exists, so I'm going to have to go with long IL stint. I still worry about them not giving him a break at the end of the first half of the season.
So either way, you're going to be inconsistent because you said the Red Sox are going to win the AL East without Crochet.
Yeah, because they're
going to
trade
half.
For Joe Ryan.
Oh, and he'll take Crochet's place while Crochet is on a long stint on the IL.
Yeah, exactly. So then he'll come back at the end of the season rested and ready, and then they're going to win the American League East, go and win the World Series. Duh. Don't you see the path?
Hey, consistent homer. More likely Crochet wins Cy Young or is on the IL for an extended period.
Considering that he just came off of his first complete game of his life, Skubal is 10-3 with a 2.33 ERA, 10-4 leading the majors in innings pitched with 160 strikeouts and a 2.23 ERA. That's going to be your Cy Young winner, Garrett Crochet.
Nice. I hope so, because some of us put a little sprinkle on that before the season started, and we're getting worried.
As long as you didn't put Jimmy's on it.
Okay, we talked about a regression option on the Red Sox roster, and the name Seydon Rafaela was brought up. So, more likely, and this is a little bit bigger picture regression, Fitzy, more likely Seydon Rafaela is a future all-star with the Sox or gets traded in the next 2 years.
Oh, future all-star with the Red Sox.
Future Sox all-star Seydon.
Have you, I think we've all shared it in our group text chat. His contract is bananas cheap. There is zero chance they're letting that go. That kind of youth movement cost control is everything this FSG, Breslow, the whole gang covets. No way, no how. Like, that's one of those you'd have to blow the Red Sox away and out of the water to get them to move on from Rafael if he continues to play anything like this.
Or he could just blow Dan Ball. What do you say?
He could. I don't think he's going to.
There was a comma in there, right?
Yeah. There was definitely a comma. Punctuation matters. Absolutely, Fitzy. Thank you. Or he could blow, comma, Dan Ball.
Oh, my God. Andy, again, just pop. Okay, yep.
So, he's a future all-star.
Seydon, two future all-stars.
Yeah, I think Fitzy nailed it. They still deal in dollars and cents more than anything else does this ownership group, and I think it's getting better and better by the day, the investment that they made. And the flexibility, I'm not even saying he's a future outfielder in center field. He's a future or future all-star somewhere. I love the way he's
second
trending.
Base all-star?
Why not? Por qué no los dos? They seem to have exactly zero answers on how to fix that.
Por qué no los dos?
Yeah.
Why can't he do both?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at that. Yeah. Bilingual wow. here
I
at
love
WE.
That phrase.
Wow,
mucho
I like
gusto,
it.
Andrew.
I stole it from a Stiz will appreciate this. I stole it from a taco commercial.
Oh, boy. More likely, this was another guy we talked about, his importance to this team. That's why he's highlighted here. More likely, Aroldis Chapman has zero blown saves over the second half of the season or five blown saves. Dan Ball.
Zero or five.
For comparison, he had one in the first half.
Did he? That's it?
I believe he went 17 of 18.
Oh, my God. Then
Pretty damn good, Dan Ball.
I have to go zero. I looking at his numbers last year, he was a mid-4 ERA pitcher with Pittsburgh in the first half and then got better in the second half.
Okay.
So I think there's a sample size for him to be able to sustain a level of performance through an entire season based on, you'd think as he's aging, maybe he gets worse the second half of the season, Fitzy, but apparently that's not the trajectory that he's been going in recent
Homer?
Years.
This dude has unlocked whatever his next level is.
Yeah.
And listen, so long as he doesn't blow, comma, Dan Ball, I'll be completely comfortable with how he continues to pitch in the second half. Andy, the truth of the matter is the facts or the reality will probably be somewhere in the middle, and it'll be just so that I don't go full complete homer, I'll say that he blows five saves over that time. But, if he blows two or three, but, you know, the Sox continue to win, we'll be okay with it because the guy's been nails.
And last but not least, we round it out here. Another popular name who, Fitzy, I believe you are attributing the success to, at least coincidentally enough, Roman Anthony. More likely that Roman Anthony hits 300 for the season or below 220.
Do we even got to ask? Ninja, please. Of course I think he's going to hit 300 for the season. What's he already batting in the 260s? The guy's like... his OPS,
40-point
and
jump
Rafael have OPSs
is
near 1,000 over the last month. Absolutely. I mean, he's unflappable at the plate, man. His discipline is next level.
I'll go to the objective one, Dan Ball. Dan Ball, Roman Anthony bats 300 in his rookie season or below 220?
I think this is the easiest one you've put on the list. Oh. I think it's 300 easily. I see.
I was going to do below 200.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I see nothing that suggests that he's going to regress all that much. And even if he has games where he goes 0-for-3, 0-for-4, I think he's going to walk at least once and get on base because his at-bats are better than anybody on the Red Sox. And B, I think he's going to bounce back the next day and go 2-for-4 and drive in a run because that's just what he's done to this point. There are no holes in this kid's swing right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to put a wrap on a homerific edition of More Likely. Where
hey, Homer!
Lots of optimism here surrounding the Red Sox in the second half of the season because Ted Johnson's not here. I'm sure that's a coincidence. I'm sure that might have gone differently had he been here. Coming up on WEEI Afternoons, last night was the ESPYs. I don't think it has quite the buzz and attention that it once had, but still a lot of stars in attendance and a lot of jokes to be told. Some of them had to do with, I don't know, people from Boston sports or formerly of Boston sports. So we'll look at Shane Gillis's jokes and other reactions to the ESPYs last night on ESPN.